Saha.
Saha.
That Lord Brahma.
That Lord Brahma.
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yada.
Yada.
When.
Mahadeva.
Mahadeva.
The chief of all the demigods.
Mama.
Mama.
My.
Virya.
Virya. Upabrimita.
Upabrimita.
Being increased by the potency.
Being increased by the potency.
Mene.
Mene.
Thought.
Thought.
Kiram.
Kiram.
Incapable.
Incapable.
Eva.
Eva.
As if.
As if.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
Himself.
Himself.
Ujjataha.
Ujjataha.
Attempting.
Attempting.
Svarga karmani.
Svarga karmani.
In the creation of the universal affairs.
In the creation of the universal affairs.
Atta.
Atta.
At that time.
At that time.
Me.
Me.
By me.
By me.
Abhitaha.
Abhitaha.
Advised.
Advised.
Divaha.
Divaha.
That Lord Brahma. Tapa,
tapa,
austerity,
austerity.
Atapyata,
atapyata,
performed,
performed.
Dharunam,
dharunam,
extremely,
extremely
difficult,
difficult.
Nava,
nava,
nine.
Nine.
Visvasija,
visvasija,
important personalities,
important personalities.
To create the universe.
To create the universe.
Yusman,
Yusman,
all of you.
Yena,
Yena, by whom?
By whom?
Ado,
Ado,
in the beginning.
In the
beginning. Asija,
Asija,
created.
Created.
Vivu,
Vivu.
Translation. Oh, the great.
The great.
Translation. When the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create. He thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. And in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. Purport. Nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabhdev advised his sons, Tapo divyam putrak yena sattvam sudyat. One should engage in penance and austerities to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. Bhagavatam 5.5.1. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore, we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sujityasvam brahma sokyam tanantam. Actually, it begins, Nayam deho deha bhajam ni loke kastam kamam arate vibhujyam ye tapodivyam putraka yena sattvam sujit brahmam sukhyam tanam. This human form of life is not meant for sense gratification, which is available to hogs and dogs, to vibhujyam, stool eaters. So it is. So the verse is strongly condemning sense gratification, and Lord Rishabhdev is stressing this austerity, not as in a punishing mode, not in the mode of beating his sons over the head with austerity is what it's all about, but he is rather in a detached way establishing this is the order of the universe, this is the nature of things. This is the inevitable consequence of existence in this world. Therefore, it's not a matter of, all right, let's get into it. It's a matter of, this is the way the cookie crumbles. So, what to do? This is how it's dished out. Even eating is hot. The soup is hot. And you have to blow. Or it's cold. Yeah. Cold soup doesn't quite make it. And so on. Austerity is everywhere. The material world is filled with austerity, sometimes in mild forms, sometimes in extreme forms, but austerity is there. And the austerity is to tolerate the unpleasant experience so that one can attain his goal. We have a goal. This morning I came out of the room and there was a bit of drizzle among the lights. I'm looking, what's it going to be today? Because when your room is outside the castle, then you have to deal with the weather. It becomes an element to consider. Like that, so many elements are there in our life that come on our path automatically. In Krishna consciousness, this is how we deal with austerity. Our purposes are fixed, and we do not let obstructing circumstances to block us permanently. Somehow or other, we go through and to fulfill our purpose, to chant 16 rounds and to follow four regulative principles. Because that is our first austerity, to somehow or other chant these rounds and to follow these principles. And then, as we see, that the austerities do not come alone. It also needs support. It's not just a matter of the right frame of mind. It is also a matter of favorable conditions, so that it becomes feasible and possible. One must protect the realms. One must somehow or other put other things out of one's life, and then put the realms in. And otherwise, it's not going to happen. One cannot just think, I'll see how far I get today. Then there's a good chance that it won't work. So chanting 16 rounds is making an arrangement to chant 16 rounds. That's the very first thing, and actually so important. It's not all about a mood and getting absorbed, and that comes after. If the arrangement is wrong, then how can you get absorbed? It's first the arrangement has to be in place. And when that's all there, then in stage two come, how to get absorbed. I find one thing that helps me is to read a little bit. It's not to just get immediately in the mood from, okay, let's get these rounds done, I'm up, right? Quickly get some in, and that's behind me. That's one way of chanting. But another way is where I say, okay, I'll read for 5 or 10 minutes, and I read something till I come across something that strikes me, something that reading and boom, something strikes me, and then I start chanting, and that gives some. That gives some energy to get into the mood. Then the mood starts happening better. Like that, there are impetuses. Alamban is there. The impetuses in spiritual life that help us to awaken our attraction for Krishna. That is there. But we're always by our default settings are, for the time being, austerity. That's the default, default position. Come back to an austere mood from somehow or other, do it out of knowledge. Somehow or other, do it because we know better. We know better that this chanting is is really our saving grace. It's the name, it's the name, and it's the name, that is the main thing. And then again, we're not making so much of it. So that's why this weekend, or these last few days, I handed out the name Krishna Nam, so that someone would always have to, you know, be reminded, Krishna Nam, yeah. The chain, Krishna Nam. Even when you get very busy, Krishna Nam, okay. So a blessing. Of course, it can also be in a different mood, in Krishna. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how often, really, how often are we just in bliss about chanting 16 minutes and more? How often? That is an advanced, a very advanced stage. And may not just happen so quickly, but it doesn't matter because of the mercy, connected to the holy name and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that mercy element is next to the austerity, and that's like, all right, there is some austerity, because in this age of Kali everything is austere. I find it's the nature of the conditioned soul in the age of Kali that he or she experiences everything as austere. Gosh, I have to get up today. Oh, can I just sleep through this? Can I just miss this day? Can I wake up tomorrow? Wouldn't it, just to get up is already austere. And then, gosh, you know, to be in Belgium is austere. It's austere, can you say? You know, to be anywhere really is austere. It's just, you know. Sasa Rupa Maharaj, in his endless writings, you know, sometimes used to make lists like that, you know, everything that, things that are austere, and he starts listing things, and then at the bottom of the list was everything. And it's true that it's so, you can experience everything as austerity. Yeah, everything. Sitting on this seat is also austere. The windows are rubbish, always austere, there's always a draft. So like this, I can think of endless austerity. That you have to chew food, and it's austere. I'd rather swallow it without chewing it. So I can go on and on and on if you think about it, but it's true that austerity is just really something that is built in life, and one has to learn to take it in a positive way. And that is an adjustment. Our Bhakti Mark Swami is really good at it. And he's in Durban, he's walking around, there's a temple with a moat around it. A moat means there's water around the temple, and it's circular. So you can walk around, so there's all these people walking around the temple chanting japa, because generally it's good weather. But one day it was raining, so then there's like a flyover bridge into the temple, which is on the first floor. So one day, it was raining, and Maharaj was just sitting on the bridge. So I go like, rain, Maharaj, no walking today, right? Even the Can Walk Swami, you know, from the Canada Walks, yes, his website, Can Walk. And he can walk. But even he couldn't walk that day. So I said, well, no walking today, Swami. He goes, it's good for a change. So you can't knock him dead, you know. He's always positive. And ultra positive, just everything positive. But that is a gift. We see that Srila Prabhupada also had a positive outlook. Yes. Seeing everything, how nice that there are devotees who are chanting.
How nice, how nice that we have the deities. How nice, how nice. How nice is this spiritual life. Prabhupada said, what is better? Who has a better way of life than the devotees? He said, the devotees, they have the best of everything. They live in the best places. It's true. Who lives in a castle?
Where do you live? Oh, I live in a castle.
That are heated as well. And you know, and who eats like we do, you know? And so many preparations, you know, like you don't get that everywhere. So Prabhupada said they have the best of everything. Best place to stay, best, you know, best food, best clothes, and they're always dressing up, you know. I mean, look at those borders, you know. fancy designs everywhere. Best clothes, best food. Prabhupada said, best of everything. And Prabhupada said that if you want to get married, if a man wants to be married, he spoke from the middle, so he said, then you get the best wife. Best. Because we get the very best. Because they have good qualities. Because yes, Srimati Bhagavati Akinchana. Because through devotional service one develops good qualities. So Prabhupada said, material fortune is rolling at our feet. Rolling at our feet. So that's somewhat positive outlook. I have not always perceived it like that, to be honest. I've sometimes seen the temples as like, ooh. I've sometimes seen the devotees as like, I know devotee association is very important. Because it helps to develop between other peace and mutual. One becomes more dominant than a tree. In that association. I have seen that element sometimes. But actually, we are appreciative. So I like it that in the Bhagavad Gita, when austerity is mentioned, there's austerity of the body, austerity of speech, and austerity of the mind. And austerity of the mind, when it is mentioned, the austerity of the mind is to be satisfied. So, since when is it an austerity to be satisfied? But rather, yes, to be satisfied when everything is in place, when everything, all the auspicious things are there, and then the mind still goes, but out of habit, you know. But, no, dear mind, this time there is no but. There is actually no but. No, really. Not a little but, no. No buts. It's all right. It's actually nice. It's actually good. It's actually, it's okay. Radha is actually a nice place. Yes, it is. The mind can say, especially in November in this place, it's like when the sun is over and then the skies get permanently grey and can be for the next 3 months. And it's the time when it rains, when the drizzle really sets in, and sometimes more than that. And it's the time of depression. It's the time when one thinks, why am I here? I always used to run away to Greece or some before Krishna consciousness. So that's November in this part of the world. It's the austere time. But when one is a devotee, one can see, no, this November is nice. That's the time when you read. Finally, the festivals are over. No more festivals. Great. The end of all of it. Now we can just actually, now it's quiet. People don't come. Yay. In Vrindavan, the winter is austere, but it was in a way the only time in the year that one had some time to himself. Now even that is spoiled. Yeah. Even now, there's never peace. But
point is, if one is positive, one can find the positive in every situation. And that is something to learn. I mean,
I'm not saying that I have realized that. It's like, definitely Bhakti Mark Swami heads it up. He's the top. I haven't seen anyone as positive as him. Of course, I once mentioned it to Jayavita, it's the same story about Bhakti Mark Swami, who was ultra positive, and then Maharaj said, yes, and I'm ultra negative. Which is another approach, I guess. So there is another approach, the ultra negative approach. But then you have to be very transcendental, because then you have to really get all the juice on the transcendental platform, and then you have to be totally renounced. So okay, so if you're totally renounced, then you can be ultra negative. You say it's all the illusory energy, it's all the material world, it doesn't quite make it, you know. No matter how beautiful it is, it's not beautiful enough. Yeah? Nothing in this world is good enough. Make the best use of a bad bargain, kind of thing. That's the ultra-negative outlook. So both are there, actually, in spiritual life. But for most of us, we are not that renounced that we can just simply think about Krishna. That we can simply be renounced and be satisfied. Most of us, when we are renounced, and internally we're agitated.
It's like, what's here? Oh, we're gonna last. So a rare soul is renounced and internally peaceful, internally just satisfied with that renounced state. So therefore, for us it might be the ultra-positive option, maybe a better one. The outlook where we see that everything becomes positive because it's an opportunity for service. We can make it. So that is the key, that we can somehow or other connect Krishna to it. And that changes everything. We had this one kirtan, a ratiyatra actually, in South Africa, in Newcastle. And it was raining cats and dogs, as they say in English. And when it rains cats and dogs, you can understand that it's not just a little bit, it was just rain, buckets. And it wasn't clearing up, and the ratiyatra was a little postponed for an hour, but there was no hope. It just kept on pouring and pouring, so we had to go. So we went, so I remember I could give the opening speech from the chariot, which I did, and I remember I said that, you know, that the rain of mercy is greater than the rain of water. Say something positive, get everyone in a positive mood about it. Right? And we were just out there, and it was raining so much, fish were swimming past. At one point, we just started dancing, to hell with it all, you know, and started dancing, and it became one of the most ecstatic ratiyatras we ever had, just dancing like madmen, because it was mad, so we got mad. And we danced like mad in the rain. We would have never danced mad like that, but because of that rain, you know, it sort of made us mad. Everyone went berserk. And it really brought out something extraordinary. So, what can be said? It was a special opportunity. So if one takes everything as a special opportunity to serve Krishna in a special way, then one can rise above this sense of austerity in life. Otherwise, you know, the material austerity will always follow us and actually burden our mind. It can burden our mind. You know, oh God, where's the sun? Oh gosh, you know, it's leftover.
was from the Vyanaprabhuja. Austerity. Again, you can't just throw it all away. So austerities are there. This is material existence. But the Vaishnava mood is to turn it around and to just say, this is an opportunity. And this is an opportunity. Then even the leftovers become an opportunity, you know, to sort of realize that verse, Mahaprasada Bhogande, that one must have such great faith in prasada, yes, that whether it is stale or not, you know, must be honored. Of course, some people take that very far. I know people that kept things in the fridge for months and pull it out. I wouldn't advise that, but still it is said that one must accept Mahaprasadam irregardless of whatever the condition is and see it as transcendental. Close your eyes, please. I'm joking. But it is true, sometimes you get, someone brings you something, it's from Puri and it's a little green. Okay, thanks Prabhu. Okay, I guess someone gave it to them also. There's also that prasada which is just passed on. But back to the point, without my colorful examples, that point that austerity is just an element of material existence and must be taken as an opportunity to develop a particular quality. And develop a particular service, or it's a service opportunity. And then it becomes actually an impetus for becoming very transcendental. And then it's powerful, these austere moments. Then it makes blissful. Yeah? Because if one actually goes through these things, it makes blissful, and bliss is what gives us strength. It is like, It is about happiness, you know, about blissfulness. There must be some blissfulness. That's what really can make us transcendental to the temptations of material existence. Sense enjoyment. Yeah. When we are blissful, taste something in Krishna consciousness, yes, then we can say, okay, let it go. Let it go. Mundane sex life, anyway, you know. What is it anyway? And or other types of sense gratification. What is it? By doing some of this austerity, by accepting this austerity, that comes on its own as an opportunity to serve Krishna, we will become Brahma Sukhyam Tanantam, we will become blissful. And that's what will save us. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not philosophy. No. Because vidvamsamapi karsati, even with all the philosophy of the world, is still not strong when it comes to Maya. But when we are relishing Krishna consciousness, yes, then who wants Maya? But Maya is always there. We don't always relish Krishna consciousness. Many times we're experiencing situations in this movement is austere, many times, many times. Many things going on that are austere. So, yeah, then we have to have that special vision. How is this? What opportunity is this? What opportunity is this? Okay, that's all I want to say about austerity. I hope today is not going to be too austere, to be honest. So we have an opportunity to be a little relaxed. After all these after a festival, you want a little quiet for a few days, at least I do.
Any questions? Any comments?
Thank you for your interesting question, Maharaj. I've heard once that one of the biggest austerities for the devotees is to cooperate with the other devotees. Can you discuss any about this?
Yeah, well, I can relate to it. I don't know who said it. It's realization. You know, this is experience. It sounds like an experienced devotee who was honest at that time. And because of his honesty, I can also recognize it. But, you know, as I say, when it's difficult, take it as an opportunity to become more humble and more tolerant. Yeah. And when it's... See, we all want to serve Krishna, and we all want to do things for Krishna. But in the course of that, sometimes there's a conflict between people's feelings and what needs to be done for Krishna, for example, you know, like... So in order to get the thing done, you know, for Krishna, you know, we burn out three people on the way, who were, you know, like, the van has to be loaded right now! It's, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, and that puts the rounds off to 10:30, and the next day, at night, you know, and then the next day is again another day. Sometimes you need, okay, you know, just go change your rounds. But everybody needs a break sometimes. So, sometimes, in the name of pushing on the movement, yeah, we have been a little insensitive to people's needs and things like that. So it's so difficult to deal with people. People are so soft and so sensitive, the slightest little thing. Ah, you've done it again. I do it all the time. I always say something, someone gets upset about what I said, then I have to go, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like the other day, the temple president, not temple president, GBC, now the GBC, brought up something that I had said for the Vyasa Puja last year. I said, oh, I can't remember. I can't, you know, because I really can't, my brain is a sieve. I can't remember nothing. It was a bit too late, I should have brought it up last year. It would have been better. Yeah. But anyway, even if I say things that are too much or not enough, what can I do? I do. I all the time put my foot in my mouth. Stay safe. Yeah. It's so difficult to social life, it's not easy to deal with people. But yes, we have to. So living with the devotees is not only for inspiration and nectar, Prabhu, it's also for Trinada Pisunicha, for developing tolerance and humility also. So we're so sensitive also because we take ourselves so important, you know. See, if we would be very humble and very simple, we could tolerate a lot. You can see like that, you know, like for example, I see in India that in village life, some people grow up very simple. And then you ask them, how old are you? You know, they don't know. When you, like this morning, I was reading something, born, I forgot the dates, but two numbers were given, you know, 86, 87 or something like this. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, in the reading it was 14.08, where is it? That is personal at all. It should be rather 1488 meant the...
Sakapta.
Sorry?
Sakapta.
Ah, okay.
Could also be. Yeah, did you add the beat?
Ah, I see. Okay. Didn't think about that one. So that's
yeah, 76 years.
Yeah, 7-6 years.
But still 1 year difference, because Goranga then wouldn't be, so it didn't fit, because if they're both on even
okay.
layer, then it
okay.
cannot be.
Yeah, you're going too fast for me, I was sort of sleeping nicely.
Both are even years, so cannot be 1 year difference between two even years.
Okay. Anyway, back to my story. My story is then that someone doesn't know his birthday and you ask him, how old are you? 25, 26? Are you 25 or are you 26? What is it, you know? 25, 26, what do you mean? You know, when's your birthday? You know, silent, no answer. Well, you know, date of birth, please. Day of birth. They don't know. They don't know the day. They don't know the year. Can you imagine never, when you were a child, happy birthday? No happy birthday for them. Only Janmashtami. They never miss Janmashtami. How many Janmashtamis have we missed? But we never miss their own birthday. But they miss their own birthday, and not Janmashtami. So they grow up in a totally different way, not so self-centered, not so much ego. Right? So much ego. But like, you know, there's a lot of ego in us. And then everything also becomes really more important. You know? The more ego you have, the more when somebody sneezes next to you, slightest thing. So we have a lot of ego, especially from the so-called first world. You know, there's first world, second and third world. When you're from second world, first world, then you have a first world passport. It makes the head a little bigger. It does. At least my head became bigger. Mm-hmm. Any, you had some question, I saw.
It's kind of similar. I was thinking about authority. Sometimes we get authorities that we might not respect that much, even though we know we should, because they are, might be our seniors or financial help or disciples, that we just there are qualities
in
them that we see and we might criticize
in our mind. Yeah, but then, you know, we have to see there's two sides to it. Maybe there are some devotees that have been around for a long time and they're not always following all the highest standards spiritually. And that may be true. And therefore, they are not perfect role models and therefore they may not be the ideal people to guide us, and we are a little bit reserved, respectful, but a little reserved. That's fine. But even those who are not following everything too nicely, even those, they have some special grace. They got some special grace. They were there, you know, at certain times, right? When everything in this movement was very concentrated. You have to understand that Prabhupada was there, right? It was so condensed in Krishna consciousness, but he was emanating and Stratta was just so thick and condensed and so focused. And although people were not necessarily themselves, but because of Prabhupada, they saw that, even got a glimpse of that. It went into their hearts. So they have they carry something extraordinary. And you see that. So whenever you meet a Prabhupada disciple, always realize that there's something there, a little bit magic touch, and sometimes it comes out. Even if other times it may not be so manifest. But sometimes it's there. So So the respect is not only, it goes beyond external. It's not only like, okay, out of etiquette, because they're one generation or the generation's up, so we must, you know, offer respect. No, know that there is something, some special grace there, without a doubt.
I want to ask, you said about the water, which austerity should be done, austerity should be done for Krishna, but not in the mood that, oh, just for the sake of austerity. But I was wondering about austerities, that types of austerities that shouldn't be done. For example, if you are doing an austerity, but while doing it, you neglect relationship with another devotee. Somehow, relationships with devotees are above austerity. And what other types?
Yeah. These things are a little complicated. You know how to set borderlines, right? How far does it go, you know, austerities? Yes, we generally are not engaging in separate austerity just for austerity's sake. You know, it's not that we're just saying, well, today I'm going to just fast because I want to make some more advancement. Generally, that's not our approach. Our approach is to serve in the Sankirtan mission. So one has to look at spiritual life also in the context of Kaladesa Patra, of time, place and circumstance. And our time, place and circumstance is this Kali Yuga, a special one where Lord Chaitanya appeared. And, you know, 1,000 Kali Yugas, only one is where Lord Chaitanya appears. So this Kali Yuga is different. And this is the magic Kali Yuga. So this is the Kali Yuga where you sort of, you know, we almost laugh at all the degradation of Kali Yuga because we just see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya everywhere. Among all that greens there, we saw it. We saw the degradation and then they turned around and just became so happy. So we see the miracles of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that touches everything. Yuga Dharma, Lord Chaitanya, spreading out in Osaka, that touches everything. So that sort of takes it away from too much nirjana bhajan, you know, withdrawing from people and just like, okay, I'm chanting 108 rounds today, so I can't talk to anybody. And there was a while that I was chanting 64 rounds, right? And then every time I start to note that every time I see a human being, God, somebody's coming, you know. Because I got to chant 64 rounds, a lot of rounds, right? So this is sort of, how do I avoid them? You know, that's the first thought that comes. And then I start to realize that it's going to be very hard to keep this up, you know. And put it down. Because ghosti, you know, ghosti anandi. The ghosti anandi is always together with people, together in sangha with devotees. We are congregational chanting together. The devotees always together, not too much together, sometimes a little bit alone. That's the sound balance, right? But it's as a movement, we're definitely quite together, spreading the Sankirtan. And we need each other with a little privacy on the side, if for some of us, like me. That is called over-endeavor. So over-endeavor, we take on service, so much service, But when it begins to interfere with essentials, you know, health, sadhana, and then it's over endeavor. So when in the process of devotional service, we're killing ourselves, you know, and then boom, drop dead. So I have to be careful of that. I have that tendency. That's why I'm here for a few days, just sort of chill. Over endeavor, when I'm chanting, you know, we preach and preach, and then we don't chant 60 rounds. Over endeavor. That's the use. Yes, there's some balance, that's okay.
Just one more question.
Okay, the last one.
If someone is attached to a service...
If someone is attached to a service...
Another devotee is attached to a service that you're interested in.
And someone is interested in your service.
Yeah, if I'm attached... Or someone else is attached to...
Okay, someone else is... You're interested in someone else's service.
Yes. Yeah. And what should you do? Should you fight for it?
You just walk up and suddenly with your elbow... Throw him off the altar. Sometimes it's bewildering what to do. I think it could be a situation where it's good to consult with seniors, because you could just take the one who has the service could take the humble position and say let the other one do it, but the other one may not actually be suitable and the one who's doing it may be very suitable. So that's where, you know, it comes in. You definitely don't want to fight, you know, I mean, boxing gloves and, you know, and things, that goes a bit far. But you know, you could ask, can I also sometimes, you know, offer a merity? And because between Vaishnavas there should be this kind of give and take relationship. So when a Vaishnava comes to you with a request, the mood should be that to oblige, you know, or to try and at least satisfy that fashion. So someone who's like, you know, my service, that's not exactly that mood of like, you know, letting others in. At the same time, to really go after someone and say, give me that service, you know. So both have to be sensitive. It has to be done in Vaishnava relationships. And then both are sensitive. Then these things are worked out. And there is a principle where at one point, you know, when in one temple there are seven people who could be temple president, then maybe it's all right. Let somebody be temple president. And the temple president can go out and do something bigger. Like, when I gave up being temple president and I was on the list for sannyas, then, you know, I remember Bir Krishna Maharaj came up to me and said, he said, don't think, you know, that you've lost something. He said, now you're going to do a bigger service. And it's true. You know, it happened like that. So there's always a bigger service. You know, in the material world, everyone sits on his seat, you know, it's my position, you know, that's... in the spiritual sense, empowerment means give others a chance, let them come up. You know, Maharaj Pariksit was put on the throne at age 25. That means somebody older really stepped down, didn't they? You know, they didn't hold on. Put a kid on the throne, 25. Put a kid on the throne of the world, 25 years old. I was a kid, you know, 25 as a kid. From the old man's perspective, from the king's perspective. Yeah, that's what Dr. Rick is thinking. Sorry.
So that's sort of Vaishnava relationship must be there, but empowerment, giving people a chance to come up when they're qualified, that's also there, and then we'll move on. If a lot of people would just give their service to other people who wanted, who are younger, who are qualified, and who want a chance at the wheel, give it to them. And if they would be out of service, and they would all become preachers, that would be amazing. Imagine all these preaching vanaprasthas, all these preaching sannyasi. The movement would get an immense boost if we could have more of those, you know, just people who preach. We don't have enough. Get more spiritual. So, when, you know, when they kick you out of your material job below you, you can always take up a position of spiritual leadership, and there's endless opportunity for that. And you can live. You can actually survive as a spiritual leader. You don't need a job on the side. Okay, I'll end with that.
Right.